Good morning and happy Easter to you all. I welcome you to this service of worship and praise to our living God. Today we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is alive. Easter is a key moment in the life and the ministry of Jesus, and so it is the foundational event for the doctrines and beliefs of Christians all over the world. On Easter, Jesus rose in bodily form. Not metaphorically, but bodily form. Now, even though many of us are stuck at home, ministry here at Fellowship Church continues through Bible study gatherings, through a program called Zoom, through elders and deacons and pastors who are making phone calls, through the collection and distribution of tithes and offerings, through online worship, and of course, through many, many prayers that are offered up to the Almighty God in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Another way the ministry continues here at Fellowship Church is through the leadership of your council. Your council continues to meet together through Zoom. We continue to talk about the needs and the concerns of the congregation and the community. And we're in prayer together for you, and we're in prayer for how to do ministry during these difficult days. So please be in prayer for your council as well. We are discussing as well and nominating new people to replace two elders and two deacons and an elder this cycle, a normal cycle. And so please be in prayer about that process too. For replacing deacons and elders during this time of social distancing. And if you get a letter, please be open to serving in the leadership role in the church in this way. Now, our choir has been planning to serve us today in song, and hopefully we'll get to hear those songs they've been working so hard on when we get back together again. But one of their songs was included in the email that was sent out about Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday. The link to the choir's second song is included in this week's liturgy in the email that was sent out with other song selections for you this morning, today's worship. So I encourage you to spend some time listening to, reading the lyrics of, singing along with some of those song selections that were given part of your family worship time. So now let us worship God, beginning with our call to worship. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us new life and hope. He has raised Jesus from the dead. God has claimed us as his own. He has brought us out of darkness. He has made us light to the world. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Our scripture, our psalm reading for today is Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2, and also 14 through 24. And my daughter, Valerie Krause, is going to read our psalm for today.
Psalm 118, 1 to 2, 14 to 24. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you have answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous to our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad.
Thank you, Valerie. Our resurrected Lord Jesus Christ met up with his disciples in Galilee, as the scriptures say, and he said to them, and I believe he says to the church today too, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Will you please join me in a prayer of confession today? When we deny you, O God, forgive us. When risks of discipleship are high and we are nowhere to be found, God, forgive us. When we wash our hands of responsibility, God, forgive. When we cast our lot with powerful oppressors and accept bribes, God forgive. When fear keeps us from witnessing to your truth, or prejudice keeps us from believing it, God forgive. In the bright light of Easter morning, O God, our sin is exposed and your grace is revealed. Tender God, raise us in your love, so that with joy we may witness to your awesome deeds. In the name of Jesus, the risen one. Amen. People of God, hear the good news this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where it says, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead also came through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. Praise be to God that we are forgiven, we are renewed in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord. Amen. And now we come to the point of confessing our faith as believers in Jesus Christ. And if you're in your homes, I invite you to stand at this time. Maybe you memorize the Apostles' Creed. I invite you to say it along with me as we confess our faith together. Congregation of Jesus Christ, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of the heavens and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. And now we come before God in our time of congregational prayer. Please join me in prayer. We give thanks to you, Lord our God. It is right to give you our thanks and praise. We give you thanks, our great God, for the hope that we have in Jesus, who died but is risen and rules over all. We praise you for his presence with us. Because he lives, we look for eternal life, knowing that nothing past, present, or yet to come can separate us from your great love made known in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, on Easter, we think of spring, of new life, of warm sunshine. But no matter what the weather is doing outside, we know that there are still many dark and stormy places in our world and in our lives. There are certain sins, Lord, that remain hidden, untouched by your conviction and grace. Certain habits, like going to certain places on the internet, remain secret in the cache and the cookies of our computers. And there are those habits of thought and those words that we let fly which hurt others. Lord, would you shine the bright light of Easter into those places this morning, those deep, secret, and hidden places? Would you show us your grace and love even when we confess these to you? Would you raise us to new life today? Father God, there are many cold, dark, and stormy places in our world today as well. In a state of fear, nations may ignore the needy among them. In a state of fear, nations forget about the travelers, the homeless, the refugee, and migrant workers. In a state of fear, nations may only look to the dollar's printing press as the only savior in a global pandemic. Lord, would you shine the bright light of Easter into the nations of our world today? Would you guide our fears and transform them into good and righteous action that would benefit all? Would you heal our land from the coronavirus and from the virus of sin that infects our hearts and souls? God, would you heal us? Lord, we thank you that our Savior Jesus Christ is alive. We praise you for the hope of life after death and life with you eternally. Therefore, we do not fear death, for you have conquered the grave. Thank you for the eternal life we may already experience in this life, and for the hope of life to come with you into eternity. Lord, give us perspective today. Give us perspective as we endure our momentary afflictions. And now may you, Father, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, receive all the honor, praise, and glory. Amen. Our church's ministries and the ministries and missionaries that we continue to support as Fellowship Church continue to need your support, our support, in these difficult days. The deacons want to encourage all of us to continue being faithful in our giving, even though we have to remain physically apart. They're also very grateful. We are also very grateful for the gifts that have already been coming in via the mail or the PayPal account or in other ways. We thank you for those gifts and thank you for being faithful. Please send your tithes to the church via the mail or through our PayPal account that's attached to the church. and goes through our website. That's fellowshipcrc.net, fellowshipcrc.net. The special offering for this month is for Cranhill Ranch, and I know that a number of families have been blessed by this local ministry, and we've been blessed as a church by having many from Cranhill, many staff members who continue to worship with us and have worshiped with us for a long time here at Fellowship. So a ministry video for Cranhill can be found on our church's Facebook page. You can check it out there or check out Cranhill Ranch's Facebook page as well. And we look forward to continuing to support the ranch even during these days too. So now we come before God's Word on this Easter Sunday. And as we do, we pray for the Holy Spirit to lead us. Please join me in prayer. Lord, we do not always find it easy to recognize your coming to us. So come and reveal yourself to us, we pray. Meet us in the opening and the reading and in the reflection of your holy word, and set our heavy hearts on fire with love for you, and send us on our way this day rejoicing, because Jesus is alive. Guide us, O Holy Spirit. Protect us. Be with us and empower us, we pray. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, I invite you to open your Bibles to follow along as I would read. And I hope that maybe you've had a chance to read some of the Bible reading plan for this week and reading through the Gospel of Matthew in those final chapters leading up to the crucifixion and death of our Lord, but also to the resurrection of Easter morning here in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. Hear now the word of the Lord. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." They then go quickly and tell his disciples, "He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." We praise God for this reading of his holy word this Easter Sunday. My message this morning is called a seismic shift. A seismic shift. The term seismic shift can mean a great change or a fundamental reorientation. I believe the term is taken from geology, the study of seismology and earthquakes. In particular, when the great tectonic plates of the earth move ever so slightly, an earthquake happens. And often when an earthquake happens, homes, businesses, streets, foundations are all reoriented. To put it nicely, when the foundation crust of the earth changes position, it causes many things to change, especially for those who are living on top of that crust. When the tectonic plates shift, we may say that a seismic shift has taken place. Well, the Christian holiday of Easter celebrates a major seismic shift in human history at the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That event, that empty tomb, caused a great change in the disciples and a fundamental reorientation of their faith, of their outlook on life, on their mission in life, their lives in general. Not only that, this seismic shift has changed the world forever in the spread of the Christian church through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The resurrection is the seismic shift that we celebrate today. Praise be to God that the tomb is empty, that Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Jesus is alive again, and that changes everything. Now, many may not realize how often seismology is referenced in the Bible, and especially in the gospel accounts. But by now, you've probably heard or read a number of places in the Gospel of Matthew that mentions the event of an earthquake happening. In Matthew 24, verse 7, Jesus is speaking about the earthquakes at the end of times, which will take place. And he says they will be like birth pains that are happening. In Matthew 27, verse 51, it says that at the death of Jesus, when he gave up his spirit, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. Tombs were broken open. And in our reading today, in Matthew 28, verse 2, it says there was a violent earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. I think Matthew likes the study of seismology, or he's experienced a number of these earthquakes along the Jordan Rift Valley there in Israel. It probably takes Matthew back to some of the Old Testament passages of the Bible that speak of the earth shaking, especially in relation to when God shows up. Maybe he thought about the prophet Nahum in Nahum chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, where it says this: "The mountains quake before him, and the hills melt away. The earth trembles at his presence, the world and all who live in it. Who can withstand his indignation? Who can endure his fierce anger? His wrath is poured out like fire. The rocks are shattered before him." This is a very powerful image, the presence of God. Earthquakes happening, the earth shaking. A very powerful image, especially as it relates to Jesus and his crucifixion and his death on the cross at Good Friday. As the contemporary praise song goes, "Did you feel the mountains tremble? Did you feel the mountains tremble?" At the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, we have experienced a seismic shift. Things are not going to be the same after Easter. They hadn't been. The author of a book called A Wrinkle in Time by Madeleine L'Engle, where a movie came out in recent years by the same title. It was truly unfortunate that in that movie they scoured it or scrubbed it from any references of the Bible passages that the author has in her books. And there were many biblical references, and she has a deep faith as well, or had a deep faith, it seemed like. But she wrote another book called The Irrational Season, saying that there are times when I feel that God has withdrawn from me, and I often have given him cause. But Easter is always the answer to, my God, why have you forsaken me? Easter was the answer to that question from Jesus on the cross. But Easter is also the answer to that question, to some of our questions, to that question we would ask in our lives. Like L'Engle, we often give God reason to forsake us by our sins and our rebellion. But at other times, life circumstances like being ill from the COVID-19 virus, or being stuck in quarantine, or struggling with an alcoholic husband day in and day out, it may feel like God has forsaken you, God has left you or abandoned you. Easter is the answer. Because wherever there is death, either a literal death or the death of a relationship or the death of an ideal or the death of a dream, Easter reminds us that death does not reign supreme. Easter tells us that there is hope, that there is life after death and the grave. A seismic shift happened in our understanding of death. God is stronger. God is greater. God is life. More than that, Jesus, being bodily resurrected, tells us that this bodily existence of ours is important too. Jesus came back to his disciples in bodily form, not as a ghost. He ate with them and drank with them, was touched by them. This is no ghost story. This is good news. This is good news. Jesus is alive again. But that's what some people think Easter is all about, a ghost story. They feel that the disciples were just gullible men from the backwoods, prone to believing such ghost stories. But that doesn't really fit the evidence of the gospel accounts or the eyewitnesses that we have. First, we have that famous biblical skeptic known as Doubting Thomas. But many of the disciples, even after Jesus was raised to life again, still had troubles believing. They still had doubts. They had trouble believing those initial reports by the women, thinking that they were the ones who had seen a ghost. Well, in Matthew 28, verse 17, after Jesus appeared to them in bodily form, after Jesus showed up right in front of them, it says, in Matthew 28, verse 17, it says that some doubted. Even after Jesus was right there in the flesh, some doubted. Some of them were still not sure about all of this resurrection stuff. And amazingly, Jesus still reveals himself to them. Jesus still commissions them. He commissions even the doubting disciples. The gospel good news of Jesus being alive again is for the doubters too. It's for those who have questions. Even if you have some doubts, even if you're not perfect in every way, even if you're still working on obeying God in every area of your life, yes, you, disciple, you, Christian, go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. No, the evidence doesn't fit the disciples as gullible ghost story believers. They sound like real down-to-earth people like you and me, people whom Jesus said, I can use you. I can use what little faith you have to move mountains. But the Gospels do not show the followers of Jesus as prone to believing just about anything or any story that would be passed around. But there are other people who think the disciples in the opposite terms, instead of thinking them as dumb backwoods gullible guys, others think of them as some sort of brilliant masterminds who have concocted the whole resurrection in order to dupe people into believing in Jesus. Well, the disciples may not be gullible goofs, but I cannot believe that there were some first century mastermind conspirators either. Chuck Colson, he was part of the Watergate break-ins of the 1970s, along with the attempted cover-up of those break-ins. Colson says that the only way to make a cover-up story work is if all the participants remain unified, carry on a unified front. In other words, that they remain consistent in the stories that they told. Do you know how difficult that is? Do you know why the police separate criminals after they're caught in a crime, if they're caught together? It's because the police know that chances of each of them keeping their story straight is pretty slim, and keeping them consistent and the same among each of them, if they weren't in the same room together, would be pretty slim. A believable cover-up story would require that every disciple, along with the women, keeping a lie consistently and throughout the years. But they didn't have to do that, because the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is real. It really did happen. The disciples do not even seem to be expecting a resurrection, it seems, in the gospel accounts. After all that Jesus said, that he would rise again on the third day. In the gospels, we find them cowering behind locked doors, afraid of what happened to Jesus might just happen to them as well. That kind of fear is just not compatible with the disciples stealing a body that was sealed in a tomb and guarded by a contingent of Roman soldiers. Neither is their behavior after the crucifixion compatible with faking a resurrection. They even sent the women to attend to the body after the Sabbath day. And no conspirator in the first century would have chosen a woman or women to be the first witnesses to the resurrection if they were making all of this up. The Gospels were written long after the events that had happened, and they had plenty of chances to rewrite the story, so to speak. That never happened. The authors never did that. No, the only reasonable option is to believe the Gospel accounts as we have received them in the Bible, in the written Word of God. Author Philip Yancey, he writes about how the Gospels actually portray the resurrection of Jesus as a shocking intrusion no one expected. A shocking intrusion that no one expected. There were varying but not contradictory stories. Women who were afraid, yet joyful, excited, and breathless. The Gospel accounts themselves are kind of choppy writing. All of it points to an actual event of history recorded by eyewitnesses. No, it's the soldiers who were the ones who concoct a story to explain why the body was missing and how this large stone got rolled away. How did they remain sleeping when this large stone was rolled away? Well, it doesn't really matter because they would not have been sleeping because of the death penalty for soldiers who fell asleep on their watch. And how did they know it was the disciples who did it if all the soldiers were sleeping? You see, I still have some questions, but it's not that I doubt the resurrection accounts that we have in the Gospels. I doubt the soldiers' stories that they came up with, their cover-up stories. The literal seismic shift of an earthquake and an angel of God caused that stone to roll away. The brilliant angel appearing like lightning caused those soldiers to be so afraid they became like dead men. But that was only the beginning of another and ongoing seismic shift. The angel addresses the women who came to attend the body of Jesus, saying in verses 5 and 6, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said." "Check out the tomb," the angel says. "Go, check for yourself, verify it. And then go tell the disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him." The angel of God commissions these women to be the first missionaries, the first proclaimers of the gospel good news that Jesus is alive again. Do you see? The disciples, the men cowering behind the locked doors, they're the ones who need to be evangelized. They're the ones who need to hear this good news of the resurrection of Jesus. And Jesus himself tells the women. Jesus himself commissions the women to go to the disciples. "Go tell my brothers," Jesus says. "I am alive, and I'll meet up with them in Galilee." And so begins the message that will change the world. Seismic shift. A seismic shift from the motivating power and fear of death and the bondage of sin to the freedom and motivation that we have a new life in Christ who rose again from the grave. You see, there's deep hidden forces that are at work. Deep hidden forces that are at work under the earth's crust, below the surface. And most people live their lives oblivious to this fact. That is, until those forces begin to move and move the plates on which we stand. What many people do not see or understand is that there are deep and hidden forces that are at work within our souls, too. God is there. God is alive. God is at work in our souls and in our world. Sometimes the plates shift and we hear of a miraculous healing from an illness or a sudden change of heart from a greedy person or a change of disposition of someone who is prone to violence. Sometimes a seismic shift happens in a person's life that can only be attributed to the work of the supernatural. There's just no other way to explain it. But sometimes that seismic shift happens slowly. And over long periods of time, the nature of the kingdom of God is often slow and unseen. A lot like the yeast that Jesus talks about when he spoke about the kingdom of God is like yeast that works its way through a dough. It's like you, Christians, working your way through a culture and through a nation. The nature of the kingdom is slow and unseen. Philip Yancey refers to the hope of that is caused by the resurrection of Jesus as a magma of hope, a magma of hope that is flowing underneath the surface of our lives. And for those who believe, even a little, they are filled with hope and courage, and they're sent to go and to change the world. That change may be slowly, and may be over time, and may be in ordinary ways and expressions of kindness and love and generosity and compassion and seeking the lost. As Christians who believe in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, a bodily resurrection, not a metaphorical one, but a bodily resurrection, we are sent with a rock-solid foundation of hope into our world as we live by kingdom values, and as we continue to spread that good news that Jesus is alive again. And no matter what dark corners of the world we find ourselves in, the promise of Jesus is this: and surely I am with you always. I am with you always to the very end of the age. May it be so. May it be so. Please join me in prayer. Gracious Lord Jesus, we come to fall on our knees and worship you today. Resurrected Lord Jesus, we lift our hearts to you in praise and adoration. Lord, faith has fallen in hard times in our world. We pray that you would open the scriptures to us afresh today, that we might see you in those pages. But more than that, that we pray that you would shine your light of hope into our hearts, that we would have a renewed sense today that anything is possible because you are indeed alive again. May the abundant life that you give so move within us and among us that the world would see us, would see Jesus in us, and take notice that we have been with him because of the kingdom values of the fruits that we display in our living. And may you gather your church, Lord, and may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever, we pray. Amen. 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 Now receive the Easter blessing today. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now may Christ rising from the rising lift your spirits and gladden your hearts today. May you pass with Christ from death to life. May his resurrection bring you all joy and peace in believing so that you may abound in hope. And may Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you and be with you now and forever. Amen and Alleluia. God bless you, and until we meet again.